like, damn, damn, you got a lot to say, don't you? But you don't like the spotlight on you. Tell me, how does that make sense? You gotta think we're dragging it out. Last lie, you should've went down, right? Well, depends on who you ask. Everyone's got something to say. Grapevines blocks in my way. Out of my control. And I know that you live to look cool in your darks and your cold. And I realize who I ask. Just not the guy I met. Killing me slow. Shut me out, he kept doing cold. And we'll breathe from your heart, should we low. Fucking lullaby. You say I think she's insane. Did you make me that way? Eating you like apple pie. I'll sing this fucking lullaby with my mouth full. Sweeter than apple pie. With my mouth full. With my mouth full. Sweeter than apple pie. With my mouth full. Go on. Tell him how I broke your baby heart. The one I couldn't find here in the dark. You made some bigger, better plans. And did I think that you're the love of my life? Are you somebody that I don't even like? I mean, right now, you don't have a clue to do. Everyone's got something to say. Grapevines blocks in my way. Out of my control. And I know that you live to look cool in your darks and your cold. And I realize who I ask. Just not the guy I met. Killing me slow. Shut me out, he kept doing cold. And we'll breathe from your heart, should we low. Hey, now, don't make the mistake. Don't flatter yourself, babe. Sweeter than apple pie. But I'm a fucking lullaby. You say, I think she's insane. Sing this fucking lullaby with my mouth full. Sweeter than apple pie. With my mouth full. With my mouth full. Sweeter than apple pie. With my mouth full. Lights come on, your voice gets low. Talk your shit, then let me go. I'll be alright. Does that make you so, so sad? Lights come on, my voice gets low. I won't say much, just watch me go. I'll be alright. Does that make you so, so mad? Sweeter than apple pie. With my mouth full, with my mouth full. Sweeter than apple pie. With my mouth full.
Welcome to Local Music Somewhere, and I'm your host for today, Terry Hudson. I'm a speaker, author, and coach working to empower creatives, especially in the music industry, music community. Today, we're focusing on the city of Charlotte, North Carolina. And the artist I have here, she's actually, I wouldn't necessarily call her a local artist, but she is based locally, and she does a lot for the local community here, even though she plays all across the nation. So would you welcome Natalie Carr? Welcome, Natalie.
Hello. Hi, everybody.
It is so cool to finally have you in the studio.
I know. It's so exciting.
Well, you're such a hard worker, but you have this likability factor. Out of all these artists that I know that are rising, and you're definitely on the rise, you just are one of the nicest artists.
That's so nice.
And I watched you at this conference. I think it was one of the last times I may have seen you live. Is the Confluence Conference.
Yeah.
And I watched how you interacted with other female artists. And I, you know, it's hard in any city that you focus on, city, to get artists to work together because they're very competitive and they're in silos.
Yeah.
But to see ones that are willing to give back and willing to have that camaraderie.
Yeah.
And be able to rally people together
Absolutely.
Like that. And that's a big part of who you are, just a likability factor.
It's very
and
kind.
We're going to talk about opportunity today.
Yeah.
But we're going to talk about that during the second half. The first half, I want to talk about why you are such a great subject to talk about likability. So let's start where you began, because I interviewed some artists, they began at 15, and that's pretty early, but
yeah.
You began even earlier than that.
Yeah. I began early. I grew up, I played guitar and piano, like, albeit not well. It wasn't like my main focus. It was never to be like, shredding on guitar, like Slash or whatever, but I loved music and I loved songwriting. So even though I started early, I didn't release music until I was post-grad college. So I actually had a really late start. Which is ridiculous to say, because you're like, how could 22, 23 would be late to even begin? But in the economy of women and pop, it's like,
Yeah, but you started even learning your instrument like a lot earlier.
Oh, yeah. Like, I've been a musician forever, but it wasn't until, I was like, no, I'm really going to like go for this and release music and like really, really give this a go. It's the most central part of my life, and it has been for years.
How great of you to pick the pandemic of all times to get your career started. So how did that work?
I know. It really was like the pandemic. So, I was going to studios and spending money and saving money and working jobs like in college and then out of college to like go to recording studios and learn to record. But it wasn't until the pandemic where, I was releasing music more regularly, and I taught myself to engineer during the pandemic, which has been life-changing. Like being able to just record, which a lot of people record themselves. It's not like revolutionary, but I got pretty good at it, and that allowed me to have a lot of opportunity to write for other people remotely and also just like make money freelancing and doing all kinds of things in the industry that aren't just being an artist. So I'm really grateful for the pandemic in that way. I'm sure, everyone can like look back now and find, something that happened for them that maybe wouldn't have otherwise happened. And for me, it was engineering. So
for me, I met my wife. So,
oh yeah, that's so true.
We did meet during the pandemic.
She's wonderful.
But it was a hard time. And I had friends, in the industry that were working with big names, and all of a sudden, they were, working jobs in their local market, everything from, DoorDash or, jobs that were great at the time. They just happened to be the right timing for people that were losing their jobs to be able to find something to do and be able to get out and do it. And with you learning those things, I always look at two of the greatest things to learn in the music industry for an artist. They have to have some knowledge of engineering and some knowledge of video editing.
Yeah.
Because if you don't, all your money is gone.
All your money's gone.
Yeah.
It's the most expensive, am I allowed to swear? I don't need to swear. I won't.
Take a deep breath.
Yeah, I got you. Yeah. I was like, usually, I asked
you
that before.
Are allowed,
I'm not going to. I'm gonna for my mom. She'd be thrilled. The most expensive part of doing any kind of artistry is videography and engineering. Absolutely.
Yep.
100%. So if you can do those yourself, you've saved almost all your money.
So what even caused you to get started in that?
In engineering?
Yeah.
The pandemic, so like the studios, I don't know if they were closed down or what, but I don't even remember if at the time I was working regularly at a particular studio. I know that my mix engineer, Dylan, moved to Atlanta, so he wasn't even in the area anymore. And my manager, who's like my producer, like closest ally, I would say John, and Dylan were like, why don't you just get Logic and learn how to do that? Just learn how to like record yourself. You don't have to learn how to mix. Just, get your ideas down. And I was like, yeah, this is ridiculous. Like at this point, I should know how to do this. But what I didn't anticipate was how much I would love doing it. And then like a month in, I was like, wait, I'm going to start doing like freelance work, because I can record myself and I can sell vocals. I can sell songs like from my bedroom. So I got really fixated on it. It's kind of how I work. Like I like find something I want to do and I like get really into it. And it was engineering. I'm not a mix engineer by any means. I wouldn't trust myself to do like 90% of the things that mix engineers do, but I do really enjoy having the control over my vocals like that.
Even if you, were moving that, into a bigger studio, a lot of the artists that can do their own song demos before they get in there,
yeah,
they save so much money because they have so many things prepared
yeah.
that the people know what they're doing before the artist, you know, arrives, walks in, and yeah. there's not a lot of time wasted mm-hmm. on that. They already kind of know their suggestions,
yeah.
even on what they're doing. And when you were doing this, I want to talk, this is something that I normally, when I'm talking to young artists, I always say, wait until something happens at this level, and I have a level that I talk to them about, before you bring in a manager. Yours is a different situation mm-hmm. because your manager is very active, and they are like constantly educating themselves in the music industry. They're yeah. up to date. They work on contacts, and they work with you well as a team
yeah.
to make a lot of this stuff happen.
Absolutely.
So how did you even find this person?
So,
'cause it's a rarity.
You know, it is a rarity. And I've definitely reflected upon that, because I see so many amazing artists that, you know, they have, all the things I didn't have, like the calendars, and they really are just such go-getters. And I was too, but I also, it was coupled with having the help. But my manager, who is my producer, John is his name, and then Mike. So there are two, and they work closely together as like partners. And I'm not the only artist that they manage, but I'm probably maybe their main focus. They would say that, so I feel comfortable saying that. John was a friend first and foremost. I think that's why it happened, was because I was nobody and nothing, but I was talented, and he saw that in me, and we just started making songs together. And so it kind of came about in that way. But he would be the first to be like, well, you put yourself in a position to kind of be found by me, by us. And it's really been collaborative the whole time. They've done so much for me. But I've also done a lot for myself. So it's been beneficial in conjunction. And I definitely wouldn't say I've been a hustler the entire time. I think in the last 2 years, there's really just a fire under my butt to really find and seek opportunities myself in conjunction with whatever it is that they were doing. And that's led to a lot of increased opportunities. But, you know, I was working in different studios at the time in Durham. This was years ago. And with different producers, and that's kind of how I found him. So it was organic, but it's been like a partnership the whole time. And I'm so grateful to have had the help and the guidance, because this is really hard. And I don't know what things would look like if I hadn't met them. It's hard to say, you know.
Well,
I don't know.
You know, whatever you're doing can lead you to something. And keeping your eyes yeah. open for opportunity is a key. And a lot of artists, you know, they'll let opportunities pass them by. And even though they found you,
yeah,
you still saw the opportunity,
yeah.
saw that it was, you know, a great situation to work with. And you are definitely, I would call you a hustler.
Thanks.
But I would also say that you're good at working with your community that you're based in,
yeah.
even though you travel other places to play. I've seen you at the Music Hang, where you were talking to the audience with Jason Jett, who I love
yeah.
as well.
Dude's and you, really cool.
Yeah, and I hope to have him on. We've been talking about having him on the show as well.
He's really cool.
And having, you know, the discussion with the audience about how the songwriting works, how to get your songs out there. And this is something that I've seen you do. I was going to talk about it a little bit more towards the end of what we're talking about today. But this is a big key to what you're doing. You get out there, you get these opportunities, but you don't overexpose yourself. And that's why you can sell tickets.
Yeah.
You know, you are somebody that can show up at a venue and sell tickets.
Yeah.
And a lot of artists that are on the rise, they'll try to play at about 6 or 7 different places. They want to play as often as they can.
Yeah.
And that's something you have to fight back.
Yeah.
Or play in other places.
Well, 100%. I think, because I've worked on the venue side too. I mean, I've worked at a number of venues in Charlotte and North Carolina and Durham. And I've always noticed that the amount of talented artists that come through that don't know how to promote their music, that don't know, that are averse to social media for one reason or another, which I think is entirely valid, but unfortunately it is kind of a necessity in this day right. and age. If you want to sell music in any kind of commercial capacity, I think not having social media, you're not really competing, and it's democratizing. I think if you are on social media, you can reach new people, and who wouldn't want to do that? But for those reasons, I find a lot of talented artists that just don't, you know, they don't sell tickets, or they're uncomfortable like promoting themselves. And people are always like, you're shameless when you promote yourself. Like, how do you do that? But it was like, there's like this dissonance I had to develop between like me, Natalie, as a person, and me, Natalie, as an artist and business owner. Right. And there's an element of like, I don't really feel ashamed to ask people to come to a show, because whether they're a friend or not, it's just like the simplest thing you can do to support somebody. And there are things that are more free than that, but yeah, I definitely have developed that kind of like shameless.
You said something there that was, it is a key, is you are a business owner.
Yeah.
You know, when you own a store, you do go home and you have a normal life, but when you show up at the store, you're a business owner. Yeah. As an artist, you are a business owner. It just feels more personal because, you know, the attacks sometimes don't feel like they're on your business. You know, it feels like they're on you. So I get where people think that. But as a business owner, you are in a different space than artists used to be in. And that is, they're not just gatekeepers that if you don't go through them, there's no other way.
Exactly.
It's open now and it's all up to you and your entrepreneurship. So you have that mindset of being the entrepreneur and that's what gets you through. Let's talk about some of the opportunities that you've had. I know I've seen you at a few, you know, already, but, you're on conferences, you're on festivals, you're at concert venues. Tell me some of your favorite things that you've done so far. And I know they're all your favorite, but
yeah, it's hard to say. I mean, I don't know, the live thing, performing live, I still struggle immensely with stage fright. That's never come very easily to me. And you know, as per your last question about, you know, how artists are like, I just want to play all the time. You know, once that feeling is activated, I've had that feeling, but it has not been consistent. So that's helped me to kind of, be discerning with the live opportunities that I've taken on. I'm always looking for like a few things in particular out of those equations. But like, what was the question? I was answering the last question.
What are some of your favorite opportunities that you've had?
I really loved speaking at the conference in Charlotte. I mean, that was really fun. Like, I love having conversations like this because, again, like my whole life revolves around this. So to be able to talk about what goes into it or to learn from other people is like so rewarding. It's my favorite subject is to talk about
music.
Somebody
talked about it,
and
it's why you and I are in it.
Yeah,
because somebody else talked about it. We heard them. We saw something behind the scenes that we liked, and pretty necessary.
It was super necessary. And then apart from that, I've done some shows that live in my mind. Like the first show I ever did was at Neighborhood Theater.
Great. Place.
And I sold it out, but not, when I say that, people assume like it was thousands of tickets. It wasn't. It was like the pandemic capacity. So it wasn't like, but it, for me, it was significant. It was my first show ever. And that will always live so fondly in my memory. It was just really rewarding and just really blissful and innocent and giddy. It was like a wedding to me. It was like a wedding day. It was so important to me. And then there were like a few other shows. Like the first one I ever did in New York was really special. So there are just moments in time that live in my memory. A lot of the rap days on music videos that, you know, I've produced that take so much work and time. And when I look back, you know, those things are so stressful in the moment. And I look back and I'm like, it was the most fun thing and rewarding thing I've ever done. So yeah, there's been a lot of really cool things that have happened.
Yeah, you just came, didn't you? You were just on tour up north.
Yeah, I went, well, I did two dates, one in Detroit and one in Toronto. And it was my first time in Canada. It was my first time performing in a different country too. So that was really cool.
Any advice for artists that have to cross those lines?
To Canada? It was quite easy. Yeah. I mean, we drove in, so that makes it easier. Yeah, if you can book in Canada and you're near Canada or want to go to Canada, totally do it because they're so nice. Everyone was so nice.
And artists, they not only need to know that, but they need to know with their PROs how they work with the United States as opposed to how the others work in other countries. Even film, you know, it pays different in the United States than it does when you're in UK or wherever. Yeah. And in fact, those countries sometimes even have a better situation for you as a writer. It just shows the opportunities that are international now that you don't have to go through, you know, some gatekeeper just to make something like that happen.
Yeah,
like
you totally don't. It's just a different world. I mean, it's double-edged because I think with social media and with the ability to reach, you know, theoretically every person ever, it's great because you don't have to rely on gatekeepers. Gatekeepers, frankly, have to rely on those people. But on the flip side, it's, you know, hugely more competitive. And not even just like competitive on like a talent level, just competitive with just the sheer amount of content and songs that are being produced and released. It's overwhelming, I think, to the average person who's just like on social media as a regular user to be inundated with constant sell or buy this or, you know, whatever. Yeah, right. It's a lot, like I can imagine, but it just, it's just nice to be able to have that as like the one thing I can control is making music and promoting it. Everything else, it's kind of like, that's just extra. It's the way I look at it.
Well, yeah, you should spend a certain amount of your available time on your craft.
Yeah.
A certain amount of your available time on your marketing.
Yeah.
Speaking of your craft, what is your process for songwriting?
So a lot of times I will write on guitar or piano and just get an idea down, but working with producers and working mainly in pop and R&B, a lot of times I'll be writing to production, like skeletal production, or I'll work with producers to be like, this is exactly what I want. This is kind of what I'm hearing. Can we do something like this? And then I write all the lyrics and melodies myself. So sometimes it looks like melodies first, but oftentimes I have an idea of lyrically where I want to go. I try to do melody first now because I think it's best for the song. Because historically, I have so many things to say, and I love lyricism. And so I would write all of these lyrics and kind of try to shove them into corners of songs and make them fit. And if they didn't fit, I just was like, well, I don't want to let go of these lyrics. So, you know, a lot of wordy songs in the Natalie Carr resume, but it became kind of like a style, so that's okay. But yeah, I definitely do all the writing, that part of it myself, and then, you know, bringing in instrumentalists where they're needed, that kind of thing, to just add that extra flair to a song. But no, it's mostly private. I like collaborating with other people, and I love writing with other people, but it has to be once I've like spat out whatever it is I'm gonna do, because I need to have that like privacy in that moment just to like get things down. But everyone works differently. But yeah, that's for me what it's like. And just, yeah, a lot of writing in my room.
And you do something, unless I'm mistaking on this, I haven't seen a website for you, but I'm wondering, is that a necessary thing now? Because we're going into a new age.
Yeah.
And when I was looking at all this stuff, I'm seeing great validity in that. So what are your thoughts on that?
So I do have a website, and I think it's been hugely neglected. That's one of the things that we were talking about going into this release. So ideally by tomorrow that's updated with current photos so that it's consistent amongst all the platforms. But I think it's great to have a landing page away from social media, because not everybody has social media. I mean, it's still not a given that anybody that's walking planet Earth will have that, but they will have access to the internet. And so having a website, I think, is really important, just to have like show dates and, you know, merch, and it's just a good landing page. So it's definitely something that I've neglected, but need to be more serious about. It's the most important thing.
I was going to say, do you find that when you're trying to get gigs, that is a hindrance at all, or is maybe an EPK working better?
EPK has probably been better in that situation. I think just always walking through Earth, assuming nobody knows anything about you or who you are, which is difficult as an artist. I think all artists are like, you know, we live in a world where it's like, but I have done this and I know this, but not everyone knows that. Right. So just having like a one sheet of like, here's a photo of me, here's the most recent video I've done, or here's a link to a video of me performing. This is what I'm about. It's going to help you get opportunities more quickly, I think, because people can just see it. Just like applying for a job. If your resume is convoluted and confusing, and your email is, and you, no one knows your name because like your email or your username is, it's like you need to just be as easy to find as possible.
Right, because we're looking through our eyes, but yeah, we need to look through their eyes and,
yeah,
you know, ways that they would find us.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk more about opportunity coming up, but first, we're going to take a quick break and we're going to hear from our friends and our sponsors.
Woo!
And we're back. I'm here with Natalie Carr here on Local Music Somewhere in the studios of rbeats.com. And we've been talking about all that is Natalie Carr, who she is. And I do want to ask one more question before we go into opportunities. Sure. How would you describe yourself as an artist?
I would say pop and R&B genre, okay, if that's the question is genre. Pop and R&B somewhere in the midst of that, although broadly pop.
Who are your influences?
I love, it's so hard because I also write, right? So in all these different genres. So it, when it's genre specific, it's an easier question to answer. But I love SZA. I love Miley Cyrus. I grew up adoring Britney Spears and Christina Aguilera and Beyonce and Rihanna. And just all the women in pop have inspired me so hugely. All the divas, all the icons. I'm obsessed with them. But I also loved country music and I loved rock music and rap, and so it's kind of all over the place. But as far as my specific artist project, I would say SZA and Post Malone and maybe like Dua Lipa as of recently.
Dua was somebody I saw so much growth in. I went to see her one of her first concerts on the Bruno Mars tour, and she was so new to performing that it was just not there yet, but it was like within 1 year she was coming back as this headline. 1 year.
It's, I mean, her.
I mean, that's how fast she developed, crazy. How hard she worked. I've never seen an up and coming artist, you know, like her move that fast. And it was so
it's
great.
It's kind of surreal. I know.
Yeah.
It really, it felt like it went from 0 to 100. Like, I mean, I listened to her.
That's work ethic.
Yeah, it is work ethic. And it's having the right people around you and knowing yourself and knowing your sound, which I think she does flawlessly. I mean, if you listen from the beginning until now, there's not a whole lot of experimentation. It's been like, this is what I do.
Right.
And it's amazing, and it's worked, so.
Well, I feel keys to great artists. Of course, to me, number one, besides talent, of course, but talent is subjective.
Yeah.
So the thing that works across the board generally is likability. Mm. And you have that. We discussed that in the beginning.
That's nice.
Another thing is work ethic, which we were just discussing, and you've definitely shown that. But another key that I see, and I see it with you, is the ability to rally or assemble and rally a team. Because not only does that help your budget, but it helps in the kind of product you get out, the kind of picture you get out, the social capital that you have, how you network and you get these people involved, and they want to see you win. If you're that person that people want to see win and know how to pull those people in, make them feel important, make them feel a part of what you're doing. You've done that pretty well. So give us an insight on that, because artists need to hear this. I think you're the perfect artist to talk about this.
Well, that's very complimentary, so thank you. I think that, I don't know if it's because I'm stubborn or what, but, you know, I think even from the beginning until now, if I could sniff out that somebody, it was just a cash grab and there wasn't a lot of emotion behind helping me or working with me or assisting me in any capacity, I was very allergic to that. And of course, I mean, I was taken advantage of time and time and time again. I mean, I've been through a lot as far as the industry goes. And, you know, even now it's like, I love to pay people and I'll pay people their worth every time I can. But I don't want to pay a dime to anyone that doesn't care about what they're doing. I don't want to just be something that someone crosses off their list. If they work with me, I want to know that they have some semblance of caring about the project or the video or the song or the show. So I think that's really important for artists, is to find the people that you feel like care enough about your project to give it its fair due. And it's not just, well, here's your hour of work and I'm out. Like, find the people that really want to rally around you and help in the ways they can. And also, I would say it's hard to ask people to do things for you if you're not doing a lot for yourself. I think, there's an element of, you know, I want a manager, and it's like, well, what is there to manage? Which you've said, and I've said, and everyone said, and there's, you know, elements of like, if you work with a videographer and your budget is low, what are you bringing to the table to assist them? Are you going to produce the video? Are you going to find the locations? Are you going to find the props? Are you going to find the people? Are you going to do your own makeup? Are you going to do your own hair? Are you going to find the outfits? Are you going to recruit your friends to be in the video? And that's something I'm really good at, because I just frankly haven't had a lot of money.
Well, you've also, you've been not afraid to ask.
And, not afraid to ask.
Fear, I mean, I've talked to artists all the time that they're worried about what kids think of them in school if they're at that age. And, you know, they make fun of me because I sing. And I know that's hard, but this is your thing, so you have to get past those things. Are they afraid to ask their friends to come to a show? If you don't ask your friends, they're the people that should show up first.
So and if they don't, I mean, I'm one of those. It's like, if I, you know, have quote unquote a friend in real life that's never been to a show, it's just not a friend I'm going to spend my time on. And some people might think that that's harsh, or unfair. And I just don't, because this is my life. And most of my friends either work on their own artist projects or they're creative in some capacity. So they understand like the plight that goes into it. But if people aren't showing up for you in your life, and this is important to you, whatever it is, if it's like running a marathon or like opening up an Etsy store, or like, you know, whatever it is, it doesn't take a lot to show support. It can be a free comment on Instagram. You know, it could just be sharing somebody's post. It doesn't take a lot to support someone, whether you agree with what they're doing or not. And so, yeah, I mean, real friends of mine, they know the drill and they're supportive. And that's why we are so close. Like the women and friends I have in my life is because we support one another in all of these like creative pursuits. So rely on your friends, rely on your network. And especially in a community like Charlotte, I mean, people want to help. Like all the bars have contributed space to music videos. Like they want to be a part of it because they see me work and they see you know, somebody really trying.
And the city wants to grow. We had Matt from Creative Mornings, Charlotte's Creative, in here, and he said one of their goals was to make Charlotte the most welcoming city to artists.
Yeah.
You know, to people that are in any creative capacity. And I think we're working towards that. And so you're right about the community here. And, you know, with Charlotte, I know you play other places, obviously, outside of Charlotte, pretty far away, as a matter of fact. But you have some great shows that you played here, and you have one coming up that we should give a plug on in May.
Yeah.
And so tell us a little more of that. I'll let you tell
that.
Sure.
So the Lovin' Life Music Festival is in Uptown Charlotte, and the headliners are Post Malone, Stevie Nicks, and Noah Kahan. I don't know if I ever said that correctly. There are dozens of artists locally.
I think The Fray is on that as well.
The Fray, I didn't even know.
The Avett Brothers, I think DaBaby.
DaBaby and the Avett Brothers, North Carolina. And then, of course, like me and a bunch of other local artists that are incredible. My friends in Petra of the band will be playing as well. And then there's just, I mean, it's tiered up the whole. It's a major festival that they're putting on. I mean, they got Stevie Nicks to come here.
Yeah.
She's not, I don't know what Stevie Nicks is up to, but I'm like, that's wild.
But I know you submit for these things, but the reason they pick people like you and Modern Alibi, who's somebody else that I've seen, because you have a history of having people show up to see you.
Yeah.
And that comes because you're not waiting for opportunities to fall in your laps. You're doing, you know, the things that we've talked about here, but you are constantly keeping your eye out.
Yeah.
And you're strategically thinking through stuff.
Yeah.
Like, again, we talked about not playing the same places over and over and over.
Unless you're getting paid. I mean, because I think also a lot of artists, too, I mean, they will get paid to do the cover gigs, which is wonderful. I mean, I have a lot of friends that do that in different cities.
And it's a different artist than an artist trying to make a
totally
national platform.
But if you're playing your original music out more frequently than not, you know, it's difficult to bring people in. And you want to be discerning with your time. Like, work smarter, right?
Right.
So if you're going to have a show, make it a blowout show that pays you what, you know, 5 or 6 different shows will pay you because you do them that infrequently. You've just saved yourself a ton of time. You probably had a better experience because more people were there and they were eager to see you because they haven't seen you in a while. So it's little things like that. But the festival will be really cool. I don't really know what to expect. It's their first year, so I don't totally know.
It's going to be a great first year. Yeah. People are going to show up for that.
I think so too. I mean, I love that they've just put, you know, this giant budget together to procure people like Stevie Nicks and Post Malone. I mean, that's incredible. I respect the audacity.
Post as one of your.
I know.
Influences.
I'm really excited.
That's really cool.
I'm really excited. Yeah.
Well, we have a game that we'd like to play with you.
Yes.
It's called Trivia Today, and we're going to lead into that right now. Okay, how this is going to work is I'm going to ask you a question.
Okay.
And there are no right or wrong answers. We're asking these questions this month to different artists, get different takes based on what their experience is in the music industry.
Cool.
And that gives us like a really good take on how people are thinking.
Cool.
So let's throw up the first question to Ms. Natalie here. That is, would you rather play in Charlotte at the Panther Stadium or play in L.A. for a small group of music executives?
That's so hard. Honestly, probably play at the Panther Stadium.
Why would you say that?
Be- because, I mean, as per our last conversation about like gatekeepers, I mean, I would love to play for some music executives in LA, but the power lies in like procuring fans yourself. And that's a big stadium. I don't watch football, so I don't know, but I feel like it's a lot of people.
It is a lot of people.
Yeah.
I've done the opening prayer for them a few times.
Yeah.
It's a lot of people.
It would be really cool. And also it's a city I live in. So it's like maybe I'm reaching new audiences that will support me in Charlotte. I mean, that's really powerful stuff. I've had executives around, I guess, or adjacent, or I've met with certain ones, and it's cool. It's always great. I love conversations with people, but I don't know. I think your power lies in just being in front of as many people as possible and showing them what you're made of.
And I love that each artist has a different answer to that, and they have reasons why.
Yeah.
And you have a great reason why.
I think so. But that's, I mean, that's a tough one, Terry.
It is a tough
that was
one.
A really good one.
Well, let's make it tougher. Let's throw up number two. Would you rather sign a 6-album record deal or be an music influencer with millions of followers on Instagram?
That one's really easy. I don't love the terminology music influencer. I know what you're talking about, though. I would much rather be the music influencer with millions of followers on Instagram that are active, because if 10% of those fans were to go on Bandcamp and spend $5 or $10, I mean, it could be, you could make your advance from the supposed record deal within a short amount of time, and you'd own your rights, you'd own your masters. It's that one's clear as day to me.
Ownership.
And you just get to put out music the way you want to. You can put out 6 albums.
Yeah. If that was posed to me, I see something even extra in there with Instagram, and that is how social media is just like an avenue to your email list.
Yeah.
And artists need an email list because, you know, you rent your social media list, basically. You own your email list.
Right.
And having that many people, you know, on your Instagram, if you could turn those into an email list, you'd have a good chance of packing some shows,
making money, having opportunities, having sponsorships. I mean, that is just the amount of artists that are probably in 6-album deals right now with nowhere to go and no one to help them, because they were misled into something, is atrocious and predatory. Not that all record deals are, because I don't think that, but most of the people in those signed to those major labels aren't. You don't even know who they are.
Yeah, because I think I don't know what the statistic is, but it's pretty heavy of the amount of people that sign and either only get 1 album or don't even have a release at all. But each thing is different to each artist and what's important to them.
Totally.
And yeah, it's so cool how that, again, that's
own your stuff, own your craft, own your material. I mean, that one would be cool. I like that question. That one was easy for me.
Well, it was. Now, number three, this is actually my favorite question. Would you rather perform on a cruise ship around Europe for a week or the Sphere in Las Vegas for one night?
Oh, that's so tough. They're both, I would love to do either of those things. Probably the Sphere in Las Vegas, because I think that would be really, really, really fun night and really rad and unique. And I don't know if I'd ever have that opportunity again. Whereas performing around Europe, I could probably make that happen. Even now, most people, anyone can go to Europe and book shows the same way we could do it here and lose a lot of money and do it. So I would have to say the Las Vegas show. Plus, that'd be so fun. I don't know.
I would agree with you, just because, you know, you're just talking about Instagram and being on something as unique as the Sphere. You think about U2 being the first to do it. Everybody posted that.
Yeah.
Anybody that went posted the video. Any news outlet was posting, you know, what was going on. It wasn't just because it was U2. It was because that was so unique and there's nothing else like
it. So cool.
They're supposed to build 2, as I understood. One's in Europe that they haven't done yet. They finished the one in Vegas first, so it got so much attention. And it's still such a unique thing. I think that's a great answer.
I think I would have to say that.
Well, you know what? I love having you here. I can't wait to see more of the stuff you're doing.
Thank you.
Such a delight. And you are a powerful artist.
That's very kind.
Because you have the substance and you have all the other things we talked about. And I know we're going to be seeing you on marquee status. So
that's so kind.
Thank you so much, Natalie, for being with us.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me. Thanks, Terry. I really enjoyed myself.
You've been listening to Natalie Carr here as my guest on Local Music Somewhere. This is Terry Hudson, and we'll see you next time. Thanks a lot for tuning in.
again.